Thank you for tuning in on episode number 4 of PH Official Podcast Support Chatter. This podcast is dedicated to the support community and the many topics revolving around the support business. Partner Hero, people without borders, without limits.
Welcome to today's episode of our podcast. Now we finally have a name. As you heard Dan speak, we are now called Support Chatter. That is the name of our podcast because we're dedicated to talking about support and what it's like to work in this community. Today's topic, one that I'm very excited about, is millennials in the workplace. Dan, how are you feeling about today's topic?
I am living to today's topic. I mean, yes. We are millennials ourselves, and this should be an exciting topic not only to us, but to the many listeners that we have out there. So this is going to be amazing.
Yes, absolutely. So let's get it started. Who are these so-called millennials, Dan?
Oh, well, to begin with, millennials have many different ways of naming them. There's like a ton of names, subcategories that we fall under, etc. But what I'm most excited about is one that I read through a LinkedIn article by an HR supervisor, I'm sorry. And it says that these millennials are people who innovate and are extremely creative. And I think that is the definition that I'm most fond of as of now. What do you think about that?
I agree completely. We are definite innovators when it comes to everything we do, really, at the workplace, in our personal lives. We come up with all sorts of ways to try and make things convenient for us, but also leave a print that is going to help everybody else and the rest of the world and future generations. I think it's interesting how we are now, it's expected for this generation, the millennial generation, to be the largest generation after the baby boomers. So
it is correct. Actually, by 2020, 50% of the workforce is going to be a millennial generation, you know, and it's funny that every generation has a unique skill. So the article that I was reading in LinkedIn pretty much says that by 2020, 50% of the workforce is going to be made up by millennials. Isn't that amazing?
I think it is. And actually, the Pew Center for Research also claims that we are now officially, as of April of this year, we are the largest generation in the U.S. labor force. For those of you who don't know, the Pew Center for Research is a center dedicated to demographic research. They publish data, and their headquarters are located in Washington, D.C. They are this very trustworthy source for all sorts of data and reports about demographic analysis. So if you're interested in any topic in specific, please go check them out and check out a topic of your interest. As I was saying, millennials are now the largest generation in the U.S. labor force. This is amazing, if you ask me,
because
we are working wherever we can, really. I think it's interesting. We were talking about this the other day with our friend Parker. We miss Parker.
We were.
We were talking about how it doesn't matter if we have, you know, a degree and a master's or 2 degrees or whatever. We're going to work wherever we can get a decent paycheck. If we have to do tables, we'll do it. If we have to do, you know, if we have to do and be a janitor or whatever, we'll do it. As long as it's a decent job. And not only that, but there has to be a certain environment to be able to keep a millennial happy in the workforce. And there's a few little characteristics that you should have at the at your work environment if you want to retain millennials.
So before we get into that, what is your ideal workplace, Larissa, now that you're talking about that?
That's such a great question. I think it all comes down to the people around me. Honestly, that is the main component. That is what I think has been the top component in order for me to be happy doing what I do.
Right.
The people that I have found myself befriending at the workplace has made all the difference in the world. Being able to connect with other millennials and share different opinions, different ideas, be able to hang out with them after work, just creating those connections that I never would have thought I could have created otherwise has been definitely of value. That, and also being able to develop myself. I cannot tell you how valuable that is to me.
Of course.
Being able to, I was given a chance to develop myself and improve myself on many soft skills that I was even unaware of that needed to be polished. I'm still currently working on that, but just being able to develop myself doing that at the workplace and also getting a job and getting a paycheck mm-hmm. is amazing to me.
Cool. Good to know.
What about
I think
you?
I think we're all looking for that same thing, you know. Everyone's looking to get motivated. Everyone's looking to be to be inspired, you know? And it's funny how people back in the days, the baby boomers and all of the generations before us, it was a dog-eat-dog world out there. And I think it still is in a way, but not as much as before, because now people, especially us millennials, we're looking for collaboration over competition.
Yes.
Right? And I think that is very important, because I'm not willing to do everything on my own and expect to excel at everything when I haven't done like a certain task, or I haven't been exposed to a certain problem or an obstacle. I'm going to look for people to help me out so I can be successful at whatever is it that I'm doing now, rather than just do it myself and, oh, this is going to be fine because I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. That's definitely not how we think, or how I think personally.
Yeah, I think it's a shared opinion with most millennials, and not if not all of us. We all value collaboration a lot more, just because I think that the retribution and the satisfaction that you get from it is much larger, because you know you were able to come together with all these people and work into something that was just larger than just you and more important than just you and your own benefit.
Yeah, right. And now that you mentioned that, in Partner Hero, I don't know if you've ever been assigned a mentor.
I have.
Have you been a mentee?
Both, yes.
Yeah? How did that work?
It was one of the most rewarding experiences I had when I first started in the company. I had a mentor, and I was lucky enough to get Andrew as my mentor.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was. He was the best mentor I could have hoped for, because at the time, I had many things to learn still about how to carry myself as a professional in a work environment. And he was able to really listen to me and really give me advice that was specific to what I was going through, but keep it real. That's the thing about Andrew. He always keeps it real. And then as a mentor, I had the chance to help two people that were beginners here at the company. They had just been hired. And these relations, even though they were extremely different, because one of them was an older man. He is, I believe he is a mid-30s, 40s old man.
Okay.
Hey, Tony. And that was such a rewarding experience. I think we have bonded over that, even though we don't speak nearly as often. I am grateful to have been able to help him out. And then my second experience as a mentor was with a young girl. She is in the Tegucigalpa office. Her name is Marcela. Hi, Marce. I hope you're listening. And that was also really rewarding. They were very different experiences, but you try your best to just give your own experience and give advice based on what you think is going to be good for them as an individual, and also not, affect the company.
Yeah.
Agreed. How about you?
Well, I've been a mentee. No, I've been a mentor. I'm sorry. It's been a while. last time I went through this mentorship program at Partner Hero, it was at the beginning of last year with an associate that's still with us, and San Pedro Sula. And he's doing great, by the way. He's in one of our largest programs, and I hope he's listening. Hey, Brian. I mean, it was great. We got to talk about the English grammar, the language, phrasing, sentence structures, and everything that would help him improve his email composing skills. All right. So that was really great. And it's truly rewarding, because in the end, you share what you know with someone else, and unconsciously that person shares what he knows with you.
Exactly.
So it's
not one-sided.
Exactly. And did you know that according to a survey via recruiterbox.com, millennials want someone to look up to? And 53% of millennials surveyed said that mentors would help them become better and more productive members of the company. So we are all looking forward to, you know, being a mentee at some point and learn new skills.
Totally. I agree. And I can see that happening. I can totally see that as in on both ends of the deal. Me being a mentee and a mentor, I have felt rewarded from both ends of that relation. So great topic. Thank you.
Yeah.
So going back to the ideal environment for a millennial, there's three major components, according to an article written on Forbes. One of them needs to be how millennials value the work-life balance. It's still a thing, and it's not going away any soon, they say. And we do, I think we really do value that, even though millennials are known for, I think one of the characteristics that we have as millennials is that much of our feeling of accomplishment and much of our happiness comes from what we are able to accomplish at work.
Agreed.
I think that that is one of the, if not the largest drive in my life. Being able to feel accomplished with my career and what I'm achieving as a professional has probably got to be one of the top thing in my head that keeps me going and that is a drive to me. So being able to keep that balance can be difficult for a millennial when your sole, you know, or main source of happiness comes from being able to achieve things at work. So when do you know when to stop and when not to, when to leave work aside and take a break and go have a drink and leave with friends? And then the second thing that you should have in an environment that should be healthy for millennials should be digital communication. I think we have that covered. Definitely.
Yep.
Since we're early adopters, we have all sorts of tools and technology in order to be able to communicate properly. So having that makes work so much easier. I used to work in different companies that didn't have all these tools that made communication instant so much easier. And it definitely takes its toll. You can see it how whenever communication is not instant, the bond that you can create with a work teammate could definitely be affected, and so can even your performance. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think it's HR's role for every company to take advantage of the fact that we were born in a technological era and that all millennials are very capable of handling anything technology related. You know, it's very easy for us to grab a phone and get acquainted with it within minutes.
True. And working at a startup, that has got to be one of your main like skills. Being able to adopt a technology and use it as soon as possible is definitely a skill that works towards your benefit when you are working at a startup, because you need to adapt as quickly as possible because things are always changing.
Yep.
And when you're working in a support community, that definitely needs to be the case because you're given new tasks, you're given new projects, and you need to start using new tools and get acquainted with them in order to be able to provide the service that you usually provide in a better way.
Correct.
And then the last thing that you should have in an environment is loyalty and stability. Preach, Forbes, preach. This is so true. This is the first time, I think, for me personally that I've ever felt stable at a company, in a company in which I feel like I am loyal to them, and up to a sense they're loyal to me as well. I feel safe at my role and doing what I do. So I think that's really important.
That's great. And that is critically important. I agree.
Yeah, totally. Something else that's interesting about millennials is how, you know how there's, let's talk about the gruesome of being a millennial. There's a negative connotation to this word, and older generations basically hate us. They think we're, you know, self-entitled. They think we had things easy. They think that we were raised thinking that we were geniuses, basically.
That is so not the case.
That is so not the case. But as said previously, statistics now show that we're actually the largest workforce currently. And also millennials are currently the generation with the largest amount of achieved degrees, whether that's a bachelor or a master's. Our generation is the one that has accrued the most. So that's definitely interesting. In the future, we're going to be the ones that are going to be doing all the decisions, making all the decisions. And we are the ones with the most degrees. That's impressive, if you ask me.
That is super impressive.
But
indeed.
One thing that differentiates us, so there's all this negative connotation when it comes to being a millennial. But other generations say this about us. But a sociologist called Hayden Shaw, he has this TED Talk called "Why Half of What You Hear About Millennials Is Wrong."
I love TED Talks.
I recommend this one so much. Okay. Because it talks about the generational differences that come with millennials and other previous generations. But the one thing that other generations and us have agreed on based on research that was done is that the point in which everyone becomes an adult is the age of 27 or 28.
Mm-hmm.
Anything before that, a period from the age of 18 till 28, is called emerging adulthood. So every other generation agrees that that point, the age of 27 or 28, is when you become an adult. And then emerging adulthood is this one thing that not much research has been done about, but it's this transitional period in which you are still trying to become an adult and still trying to figure everything out. So I'm 25, so thank goodness I'm still good to go when it comes to trying to figure out everything. So it's okay for millennials to, you know, the things that people usually say, that we're careless, that we have no loyalty towards a job, that's not really it. The thing is, as millennials, we have three different things that other generations haven't had the chance to have. We are not afraid of change. We have multiple chances.
True.
And we adapt quickly. So even let's say you're a 26-year-old who just got married and lives in, I don't know, a trailer park, but you have a steady job. You want to quit that job, you can easily do so because you have so many options out there. And you have your degree. Yes, you're married, but right now you have no obligations. And you're welcome to just go ahead, look for a better job, and start getting, you know, adventure yourself towards getting a better opportunity. So these are like the drives or like the attitudes that millennials may have. This is not because we're careless. This is not because we disregard the opportunities that we're given, but because we have all these options and we're not afraid of change and we adapt easily. So that's very interesting. Something to keep in mind for all of those that are listening who are not millennials.
That is super amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Larissa. And I think in the end, we just value work-life experiences. You know, we really value our life outside of work.
Yes.
And ultimately, that's what living is about. So we pretty much embrace it, unlike other groups that really haven't had the chance to, maybe because they didn't want to or it was just not the standard back in the day, right? So I think that is pretty much our takeaway. So thank you so much for tuning in on Support Chatter. We hope to see you next time.
See you then.